Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins in the studio to talk about life and taxes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike.
And how are things in the world of life and taxes, especially taxes?
Going.
Moving forward.
Moving forward.
There's only one direction to go with that.
That's right.
Right?
We actually have a question to start the program this morning.
All right.
So Bob in Moorhead City emailed me yesterday, and he's got a call back to the Let's Talk Legal show, which airs 7:30 on this very program. Mm-hmm. With Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, our partners, Harvell and Collins. And Bob's question was, he said, Cecil and Wes, at the end of their Tuesday morning program, mentioned that the executor administrator can be compensated 5% of the estate. Is this amount monthly a one-time payout? Is this amount taxable as earned income to the executor?
Good question,
that's
Bob.
The question that Bob had.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd start this morning with that.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about executor commission or administrator commission. So one of the key things here, Mike, is that executor commission can be established via a will. So what I mean by that is that there's a compensation section in most wills, and you have the ability as an individual to determine what type of compensation you would want your executor to receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, examples. Some of our clients say, I don't want my executor to serve and receive any compensation.
Okay.
And so we put a provision in the will that just says my executor will serve without compensation. That means doesn't matter. If you petition, you know, for executor commission, you're going to get denied because the will doesn't provide for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another way is that if some of our clients say, look, I know this is going to be a big job. You know, I want to make sure that my executor gets the full 5% commission. And again, we have language that we can craft to request that the full 5% commission be awarded. Now, I will say this is subject to the clerk of court's discretion and approval. So even though you put that language in the will and it is controlling to an extent, the clerk of court still has the ultimate say about whether or not they're going to approve the full 5% commission.
Mm-hmm.
And our general rule at the office is that, you know, if we can have the beneficiaries of the estate on board with what the commission's going to be and they're willing to sign off on it,
mm-hmm.
that's the best practice and procedure that we can possibly get.
Makes sense.
If we have a disagreement relative to compensation, you know, then it's a matter of, you know, do you want to go to a hearing on the matter and decide what your commission is going to be, the clerk of court ultimately making that final decision? You know, do we want to try to just say, look, can we just come up with a number that's acceptable to everyone? So that's the way that executor commission, you know, is typically done. If the will is silent, if it doesn't say anything relative to compensation, or if it just says compensation in the amount as allowed by law at the time of my death.
Okay.
The statutes of North Carolina say commission up to 5% of receipts and disbursements of an estate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what that means is that anything the executor receives, if they take custody and control of a item,
mm-hmm.
and that item is later, you know, either dispersed, paid out of the estate, or distributed to a beneficiary, that's a receipt that can be commissioned. And then disbursements are basically what I would call debts of the decedent, or anything of expenses of the estate. So anything that's done, paid out, taxes, for instance,
mm-hmm.
You know, court costs, you know, anything like that, newspaper ads or run the notice to creditors, those are all going to be disbursements. And so you put a tally up and you say that executor received, you know, $100,000. You know, dispersed $100,000 potentially.
Mm-hmm.
That's $200,000. Yep. Up to 5%, you're looking at a $10,000 potential commission on that.
Nice.
So that's how we determine what the commission would be under North Carolina law, whether it's laid out in the will or if not, we look at the statute and just know that the clerk has the ultimate say so on this. So we try to make sure that we can get along with the beneficiaries or heirs. Now, how it's paid out is interesting. So normally, because the clerk has authority, discretion over executor commission, what I like to do in our files at our office is wait till the very end of the file. Mm-hmm. Because number one, it's based upon the receipts and disbursements.
And some
so you need an accounting to be able to determine what those are.
Right.
So I normally tell our executors, look, let's just wait till the very end of the file. Let's get the final number about what the percentages are. And then we will petition the court. It's a separate document that you file with the court to say, these are the receipts. These are the disbursements. This is the law on the matter. This is what the will says. This is what the North Carolina General Statute says if the will is silent. And this is what we're going to request. And then the clerk of court has discretion of whether or not to approve or disapprove that. There's some language in wills. Sometimes it allows an executor to take commission along the way. You know, so Bob was asking if you could be paid out monthly.
Yeah, or spread out.
Or spread out over time. That's possible. You could petition the court at any point in time for executor commission. So if you wanted to keep doing it over and over and over again, I mean, I guess you could. There's nothing wrong with that.
What have you typically seen in your practice?
Yeah, it just depends. You know, a lot of times, so, you know, an inventory filing after 90 days is done. That might be a time where if someone wants to take commission, they could try to do it at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I still think best practice and procedure is at the time of an annual accounting or a final accounting.
As a lump sum.
Yeah. I still like that, you know, procedure. But, you know, if there's a good reason for it, you know, we can certainly, you know, move in that direction. But the big thing that, to understand for our listeners is that, you know, this is a court filing that you make.
Yeah.
That will later, a court order will be entered, you know, telling you what the amount is. And, you know, that court order can be challenged at a later date by a beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
There's no formal hearing that's required unless requested by other beneficiaries or if the order is later challenged. So it's just one of those situations where, you know, at our office, we try to get everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
And make sure that we, in 9 out of 10 files, I'll tell you, Mike, it's easy.
From the outset, too. You get
it's easy.
Everybody
either you're going to have an executor who doesn't want any commission. You're going to have an executor that says, okay, look, I want the commission. I've talked to my siblings and we all agree on 3%, 3.5%, 4%, whatever the amount is. Boom. Easy. So we'll say, okay, at the end we pay it. Then there's that 1 out of 10 files where we've got an executor who says, I've done all this work and I want the full 5% and I don't care what my brother and my sister say about it.
Yeah.
And then my discussion is, you know, look, how big do you want to push this issue?
Right.
You know, how do you want to go out on that limb? Do you want us to have to go to a hearing and defend an executor commission of the full 5%? I mean, is there a way that we can get the brother and sister in, you know, in on this to make sure that we can come up with a number that's acceptable to everyone? I mean, that's the way that I like to do it. But, you know, if we got to go to a hearing, we'll go to a hearing.
Now, you made the example that after this heavy lifting, there is responsibility, fiduciary responsibility with the executor or the administrator. And the amount of was $10,000.
Yeah.
Taxable or non-taxable?
Yeah, taxable. So
it
that's
is.
The other thing. So that's the last question that Bob had on his email. Taxable. So it is other income. The good news is it's typically not self-employment income. By that, I mean you don't have to pay the 12%, you know, Social Security, FICA,
okay.
Medicare
tax. It's just
tax.
Other income.
It's just other income.
Like you have a side job.
Yeah,
exactly. Side job.
Yeah, and it's not by trade or business, I mean, unless you're an official executor, like you do this on a routine basis.
Right.
Then it becomes a trade or business that you're in. And then in that case, you would be subject to the self-employment tax side of things. But other than that, it's just, you know, going to be taxable at your ordinary income rate. So whatever that might be, 20%, 25%, you know, 30 up to 35% right now in the tax code that we have, that is what you're going to have to pay on that executor commission, which is different from distributions of an estate. You know, we talked about this before, Mike. A distribution of an estate assets that go through the estate is ultimately given to an individual tax free.
So that there's a question I have for you. And a lot of times these are the parent dies, the surviving parent dies, and it's given to one of the children to be the executor. Would you not be better off saying, you know what, I'm going to be the beneficiary in this when this estate is, you know, dispersed, not to take the commission because it's taxed, and leave it into the estate to be dispersed among the sibs, and then it's tax-free.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If
it's a strategy. I mean, I guess you got to look at what the numbers play out, but isn't that that's a better strategy, isn't it?
Correct. Potentially. It just depends on, you know, what the amount of the commission would be, you know, and whether, because you get that off the top, you know, and then you split the rest.
Yeah. I guess it just comes down to a numbers game.
And how much, you know, a lot of our executors, you know, in today's world, you can have a fairly simple, straightforward estate where you're just closing some accounts, marshaling assets together, pay a couple of bills, and it's, you know, over with, and you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad.
Right.
we've got executors who are involved with all kind of stuff, you know, selling stocks, having to go to the bank multiple times, consolidate accounts here, there, everywhere, dealing with tangible personal property, you know, consolidating that, getting the jewelry dispersed, the guns taken care of. I mean, everything under the sun, filing taxes, and I get a lot of those executors who come in and go, man, Andrew, I just didn't know it was going to be this much work. You know, and I think I deserve a little something for it.
And on the flip side of that, too, when we were having this conversation with Cecil and Wes on Tuesday, I asked that very same question that can a person come into Harvell and Collins and say, hey, I need a little help here. Can you stand shoulder to shoulder with me? And Cecil's response was, we'll do whatever we have to do or we don't have to do. Sometimes they can do it on their own.
That's
but
right.
I bet you see the both sides of that.
Correct. And I think one of the big things at Harvell and Collins, you know, our mantra is that we're all in or we're not in at all.
So we're
either in on that file and we're going to assist you 100%. You know, we're going to prepare your accountings. We're going to help manage the estate account. You know, we take an active role in our estate administration practice. There's a lot of lawyers out there who are like, hey, call me if you need something. You know, well, what we say is look, we won't want to be involved in every decision that's made because we want to prevent the mistake from being made to start with.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to go back and go, oh my gosh, you did that.
It can get messy.
And now we've got to undo it. And then what does that start looking like? Beneficiaries start going, wait a minute, you did something you weren't supposed to do.
Right, right.
And you had a lawyer, you know, oh my goodness.
Because ultimately you have a fiduciary responsibility to the assets in the estate. And if you start, you know, saying, well, I'll pay my car payment with this. I got the right to write a check. I'll pay my mortgage. It gets sticky. All of a sudden, the heirs, the other sibs hear about it, and now you're in court.
Now you put the money back, and is that good enough by putting the money back? I mean, it's one of those situations where, you know, I do think that I encourage all executors, come in for that appointment with us, and let's talk about what's involved, and let's get in on the front end, if at all possible.
That's the way to do it. Check out Harvell & Collins by going online to harvellandcollins.com or call 252-726-9050. Great question, Bob, and that was a good topic on Tuesday, and we fleshed it out a little bit more here on Life and Taxes. Thanks, Andrew.